Number four. That is Philippians chapter 4 and the verse number 4. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible word together, please. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We end our reading there. We know that God will, as he always, add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible word. Let's bow our heads in a wee word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we reverently and humbly come round thy word this morning, and we pray that as we open the scriptures, that we might be led of thee, guided of thy Holy Spirit, that we might be taught afresh in thy precious book. Help us, our God, to glean as Ruth did in the fields. But, O God, we pray that we might glean in the field of plenty. And we pray that we might come rejoicing. Help us, our God, our Father, to enjoy the good and precious word that thou hast given to us. We thank thee that this is thy word, and we believe that this morning, and that thy word is forever settled in heaven. We thank thee, though heaven and earth may pass away, that thy word shall never, never pass away. And we thank thee, O God, that we have a book that stands the test of time, and we bless thee, it'll stand for all eternity. And so we pray that thou wilt just touch all of our hearts and help us to listen to thy word and help us to learn from it this morning, and then help us to go out and practice what thou dost reveal in thy truth. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Now, from verses 4 to 9, it's a portion of Scripture. And in this portion of God's word, I believe that Paul is giving specific direction in specific areas of conduct for the child of God and the life of the child of God. Paul commences there in verse number 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Remember this, where he was? He was in prison. He was enduring a time of imprisonment. It wasn't an easy pathway. And yet the very substance of what he was saying was rejoice. But of course, he said, here's the source of joy. He says, rejoice in the Lord. And then here's the season of joy. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then, of course, he's stressing the joy because he says, again, I say, rejoice. And then in verse number 5, we have noted it says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. And therefore, we have two thoughts there. We have the manifestation of our moderation. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. And that word is forbearance. It is sweet reasonableness. And let it be known unto all men. It is to be manifested before those that are around us. But then notice the motivation. Because not only have you the manifestation, but you have the motivation. It is the Lord is at hand. In other words, the Lord is near, and thank God his coming, the coming of the Lord, is also at hand. And we keep our eyes upon the eastern sky because, thank God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is coming again. And then when we came to verse number 6, it says, be careful for nothing. And that word was be over anxious for nothing. You see, many of God's people were anxious, they were depressed, they were oppressed, they were despairing, and yet it says here, be careful or over anxious for nothing. But in everything, instead of this carrying this burden around, this depression and oppression, and this anxiety and this care for some things and everything, it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so rather than being anxious for anything, thank God we are to supplicate for everything. We are to bring our burdens to the Lord, and we are to leave it there. And when we do that, notice the next verse, number 7, and the peace of God. That's what follows. Whenever you do what God says in his word, he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and keep your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, we then come to the other part of this portion, and I believe it's a very, very important part of this, part of the Word of God here, and this instruction that Paul is giving to the believers at Philippi. Because Paul has been stressing, and he's been talking about the things that we are to rid from our minds. Things that we don't need to carry in our minds. We're to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. There are things that you and I need to rid from our minds. But when you come to verse number 8, it takes the other side. Because it's not the things that we need to rid from our minds, but it's the things that we need to occupy our minds with. Things that need to be in our minds, that you and I should be occupying our minds with. The things that were to rid our minds, the things that do oppress us and depress us and fill us with anxiety. But here it says in God's word, the things that we're to occupy our minds with. Let's look at verse number 8. It is so important. What do I need to fill my mind with? What do I need to be thinking about? And that's what we want to speak about this morning. We want to talk about our thoughts. Our thoughts. Now it says in verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the things that God has told us through the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, things that need to be and occupy our minds. Now, what we want to speak this morning in that verse is this. It is the importance of our thought life. The importance of our thought life. You see, there's a little verse in Proverbs 23 in verse number 7, and this is what it says. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's who he is. As a person thinks in their heart, that is exactly who the person really is, because we are the product of our thoughts. And friends, this morning, if you and I don't control our thought life, then you will not be able to control your life. Because your thought life is so important. If you feed material into your mind that produces evil thoughts, then you will soon lose control of your life. And the thought life becomes your action life and becomes you. I'm sure some of you have heard of that little statement, and I quoted this morning. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act and reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a destiny. Let me give it to you again. Sow a thought and you reap the act. Sow the act and you reap a habit. And sow a habit and you reap a destiny. It all begins with a thought life. And that is why Paul's exhorting here what you and I are really to be thinking about. What is the child of God to think about? What are the thoughts that are to guide the life of the child of God? Now, let's come to this verse 8, and let's give a helpful exposition as God has helped me. And I trust this morning that God will help you to understand what has been said here. This is so important, what you and I as God's children are to think about. For it says, think on these things. Now, you notice Paul says, finally, brethren. Finally, brethren. And of course, whenever you say that, well, then you think, well, you know, that's the last time, or that's Paul, as it were, is just winding it all up. He's finishing the book. But that's not the purpose of that word, finally. He's talking about it in respect to the duties that are incumbent upon those who love the Lord, the conclusion of this portion. In other words, the conclusion of the exposition which Paul is giving here concerning the areas of conduct in the life of the child of God. And he gives six different things, or six different virtues. And then he says, if there be any virtue, in other words, any other virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. But he names six virtues, things that God's children should have as their guiding principles for their thought life. You know, it's good that we can only think on one thing at a time, because if we're thinking about good things, we can't think about bad things at the same time. And so therefore, it is important to think right, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is that man. Now, I said there's six things here, and it is this. Whatsoever things are true, one. Whatsoever things are honest, two. Whatsoever things are just, three. Whatsoever things are pure, four. Whatsoever things are lovely, five. And whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And these things are to occupy the minds of the child of God that you and I are to concentrate our minds upon. Now, notice the first one it says, brethren, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. You see, God's child is to be occupied with the truth. We are to think on those things that are agreeable to the scriptures of truth. We are to think about those things that are agreeable to the gospel of truth. We are to think indeed of Christ, because he is truth itself, for the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so Christ is truth. And therefore, when we're thinking about those things which are true, our minds and our hearts are set upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, whenever we think about the statement here, and the exhortation and instruction here, whatsoever things are true, there is the opposite to that. In other words, the things that you and I are not to set our mind upon. If we're to set our minds upon the things that are true, then we're not to set our minds upon the things that are false. We're not to set our minds and occupy our minds with falsehood or lying or hypocrisy, because everything that is founded on lies, friend, will crumble sooner or later. They will fall apart. And so the Word of God tells us, you are to keep your mind from falsehood, and you're to set your mind upon the things that are true. Admit only the truth into your heart, because the Word of God is truth, and Christ is truth. And praise the Lord, you can set your mind upon him. Whatsoever things are true. That's the first thing that God's child is to set before his mind, is that which is true, and reject and not think upon the propaganda of the world, friend. Not think upon the lies and the falsehoods of the world, but to set your mind upon the truth. For the Word of God says, it is the truth that shall set you free. And thank God, if you set your mind upon that which is true, and cast and bend that which is false. Don't set your minds, don't read about it, don't think about it, friend, because the devil wants to take you up in falsehood, and he wants to take you up in lies and the propaganda of hell. But the Word of God says you're to set your minds upon that which is true. Secondly, it says whatsoever things are honest. And I believe that the first and second of these are practically linked together. Now, the word there, honest, means things that are honorable, those things that are reputable, those things that are dignified, worthy of veneration, or worthy of regard. You see, there is much today in the world, and there is so much dishonesty. But the Word of God says that you and I, as God's child, are to set our minds and our thoughts upon the things that are honest, those things that are honorable. In other words, we're not to set our minds upon gossip. We're not to set our minds upon those things that are dishonorable or disreputable, but we are to regard those things which are honest. Now, the word in respect of God's child here, that word also can mean grave. Grave. It can mean grave, which is the opposite to levity. If you keep your hand there, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy and the chapter number 3. And it says this concerning the bishop in the church. And it says in verse, that is 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, then it talks about the deacons. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy or filthy lucre. And then in verse number 11, even so must their wives be grave. And it is so important, not slanderers, but sober, faithful in all things. And so it finds here, it goes into the family, for the husband and as well as the wife and the deacons and in the bishop in the church and also the deacons. It says here concerning the deacons, it says that they must be grave. And that's the word there that deals with honest. It's the same word. And it is that which is reputable, that which is dignified. And God's children need to indeed be that. Things that are worthy, things that are reverent, things that are respectful. And that's what we are to set our minds upon. There is so much rubbish out there. My friends, you're not to set your mind upon the rubbish of the world, but you're to set your mind and regard that which is indeed honorable and dignified and worthy of respect. Now, of course, that word honest, it includes honesty in our transactions, honesty in business. We are to be honest. And, of course, we are to set our minds upon the things that are honest. I know that we live in a world today, and it just seems to be that the person who is the deceiver and deceitful in business, he seems to get on so well. But that should not be a temptation for the child of God to do likewise. But God's child is to be different. In Titus chapter 2, in verse number 1, it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. That's the same word. And so therefore, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest. And then number 3, it says, whatsoever things are just. The word means righteous. The things that are right between man and man, or also in respect both between God and man. In other words, doing and giving to God that which is his due, that which is rightly the Lord's, that we duly, the things that belong to the Lord, whatsoever things are just. And I believe that that goes into our tithing. It goes into, we have to be just in our tithing and give unto the Lord's, which is rightly his. Because the Word of God says the Lord is no man's debtor. And giving not only to God what is due to God, but also giving to man what is due to man. It says, whatsoever things are just, a conscience void of offense to God or man. A believer needs to be just in his dealings, in his living, not to be unjust, not to be dishonest in his dealings, but he is to be a person of uncorrupted integrity. And so therefore, the word there is the opposite to impiety, injustice, or oppression. And we are to set our minds, that's what we're to think upon, the things that are just, things that are right and just and righteous in the sight of God and in our dealings with our fellow man. And that's what we're to think upon. These are the thoughts that are to occupy and penetrate the minds of the children of God. Then number four, it says, whatsoever things are pure. And the word there is chaste in words and in deed. We all know that when Paul was living in his day, and those who were visiting the land of Israel know that in the places where many of God's children had to serve the Lord, it was a place of awful, it was a sinful society. Many of them had been delivered from idolatry. Many of them had been delivered out of idol worship with their priestesses, who in actual fact, many of the priestesses were prostitutes, and they were harlots, and yet they were pretending to be a part of the religious system of that day. The Roman world of that day was saturated with immoral living. And so it says here, whatsoever things are pure. Think on these things. In other words, purity must be a part of the thought life of the child of God, replacing wrong thoughts with pure thoughts, replacing impure thoughts with pure thoughts, replacing impure actions with pure actions. And therefore, it is important that Paul speaks about that which is pure, that which is holy, things that are agreeable to the holy nature and the holy law and the holy will of God, that which promotes holiness in the life of the child of God. In other words, it's the opposite to filthiness and also to foolish talking. Whatsoever things are pure. And friend, that is why that you and I need to be careful what we watch. Whether it is on the internet, whether it is on Facebook, whether it be on television, you and I need to be careful what we watch, because impurity, impure thoughts, sowing seeds of impurity into your mind, sow the thought, then you reap the act, and it goes on until indeed it reaps a destiny itself. And so the Word of God says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. Don't let impure thoughts penetrate your mind. Don't dwell upon impure thoughts or magazines or books, which indeed will lead you into actions of impurity. And then, of course, the next one says, whatsoever things are lovely. And the word here means properly what is dear to anyone, what is pleasing. And the word also is harmonious, that which leads to harmony, and amiable, that which cultivates and increases love and friendship and unity amongst the brethren. Thoughts that promote harmony instead of division, thoughts that promote unity instead of schism. We are to set our minds upon the things which are lovely, that which develops a lovely character or a beautiful character, promotes holiness and loveliness and agreeableness and harmony amongst the people of God. Now, of course, that is opposite to contention, the contentious eye or the severe eye or the unkind disposition that many indeed are always finding fault with everybody else. But of course, we don't find fault with ourselves. A believer should not be sour. They should not be crabby. They should not be irritable in their temper. It says, whatsoever things that are lovely. Whatsoever things are lovely. That's the thing. That which develops the character of loveliness and indeed lovingness and harmony and amiableness amongst the people of God and promotes the unity of the family of God. Those are the things that you and I are to set our minds upon this morning. And then it says, whatsoever things are of good report. And think on things that are of good report. In other words, happy thoughts rather than discouraging thoughts, rather than depressing thoughts. You know, there's some people, and friend, let me tell you this, only to see them, but they would depress you. Because the minute you know it's going to be a moaning session, from the minute you start and to the minute you get out of their presence, they're going to be moaning from beginning to end. Nothing is ever right. Everything's always wrong. And everybody else is out of kilter. And they're the only right person in the whole countryside. And if everybody was like them, it would be great. Thank God the countryside's not like them at all. But friend, to be honest before God, it says here, whatsoever things that are of good report. Good report. And we should think on the things, rather than discouraging things and depressing things, we should think the things that are good report. Now, that doesn't mean to bury your head in the sand. That doesn't mean that you're to forget about reality. It doesn't mean that at all, friend. You and I, as God's people, need to face reality. And every day we live, we have to face reality. We can't run from reality. But we are to occupy our minds with the things that are well spoken of. And, of course, we're to be willing as God's children. We're to be willing to sacrifice reputation. We're to be willing to sacrifice everything for the cause and the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, friends, we must be willing to occupy our minds with thoughts that will bring glory and honor and praise to the name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that are of good report, is that what thrills your soul? The things that are of good report, or do you rejoice in things that are evil and things that, my friend, that discourage people? Is that what thrills your soul? Well, the Word of God says you're to think on the things that are of good report. And then it says, if there be any virtue. Now, why does Paul finish up with that? Because you see, what Paul is not giving here is the full catalog of Christian virtues that are to be cultivated in the life of a child of God. Now, you would have to go on many chapters more to be Christ-like and to cultivate every virtue of Christ in our lives. But what Paul is saying, if there be any, in other words, if there be others that I haven't mentioned, then those that have not been mentioned here by Paul, he says, listen, cultivate them also. If there be any virtue, then think on those things. If there's any other that I have in mind, think on the things that are good and Christ-like and pure and holy and leads to holiness in our lives. The Christian should be a pattern and an example of every other virtue. And then it says, if there be anything or any praise, in other words, anything else worthy of praise, then it ought to be praised. Anything else worthy of commendation, it ought to be regarded. And he says, think on these things. Now, the word think there is meditate or seriously consider them, not for the sake of just thinking about them, but having thought about them, having meditated upon them, under the guidance and instruction of the Holy Spirit, we are to put them into practice. They are to be the object of our careful attention and study so as to produce them and practice them in our lives. Think what they are. Think of their obligations. Think of how we observe them. Think on the influence that those, if they were lived out in our lives, would influence others around us. Let your mind reflect. Carefully meditate upon these things. Now, before the Lord, you and I need to examine our thought life. Is that what we have been thinking about this week? If the Holy Spirit of God was to write across and give the testimony of our last week, things that we have been thinking about, friend, would this be the sum? The things that are true, the things that were honest, the things that were just, the things that were pure, the things that were lovely, the things that were of good report. Is that the summary of the things that you've been thinking about? Is that what you've been setting your mind upon? Is that the things that you've been indulging your mind with? and filling your mind with this week that has passed, or this month that has passed, or this year that is quickly passing? Is that what we have been involved in? Because the Spirit of God says, finally, brethren, this is so important. This is so important. There are things that you need and I need to get rid of our minds. And we need to get that rubbish out and we need to put it into the bin instead of setting our minds upon it. The things that are opposite to the things that are true. In other words, they're false. The things that are opposite to things that are honest. And in other words, the things that are dishonest. The things that are opposite to the things that are just. Things that are unjust. Things that are pure. The opposite of that, filthy. Things that are lovely. Friend, instead of that, they're vile. Things that are of good report. Those evil reports. Listen, we are to rubbish the things that are opposite to these, and we're to fill our minds. Think on these things. And then Paul goes on, and very quickly, let's look at verse number 9. He says, these things, which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. These things. Because I believe before God, Paul was able to say, that's what I've set my mind upon in the week that has passed. That's what I've been dwelling on. That's what I've been thinking about. That's what I've set my thought life on. These things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You see, Paul in this book here has been teaching them the truths of God. They had learned and they had received those truths from his preaching and his teaching. First of all, they'd been brought to an understanding of the truth. It says they had learned them. They had an understanding of the truth. You see, we are reminded that every child of God, friend, is to be a learner or a student of the Word of God. You know, a New Testament word is the word disciple. We are to be disciples. The word speaks of a learner. It describes a student who is taught by another. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul said this to Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every child of God, friend, is to constantly to be a learner. You never arrive. Listen, there are great truths in this book that I don't care how many years you spend as a preacher or a person who's studying the Word of God, friend, for years. There's always something new in the Word of the Lord. But notice what he said here. Those things which ye have both learned and received. And that's a different thought. Because you see, when a person's learning, he is brought to an understanding of the truth. But that doesn't mean he receives it. You see, you can have great understanding. There are people, let me tell you today, in the house of God, friend. Listen, you could have great understanding. You could have learned great things. You may have listened to mighty preachers down the years. You may have opened many great theological books, and you have learned much. In other words, you have an understanding. But that does not mean that you have the next part. That does not mean that you have received. Because one can learn truth without receiving truth. In other words, they have a head knowledge without a heart knowledge. And I believe there are people here this morning, and there are people, and you know the gospel from A to Z. You know exactly, if anyone was to ask you what the gospel is, you could tell them the gospel. You could even preach the gospel. But friend, are you saved? Have you personally received Christ? Have you bowed the heart before the Lord in submission to Him and received the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, that word means, the word received, it means to bring near, to associate oneself with. What does that mean? To receive the Word of God. We make it part of our lives. We make it part of our life. See, there's two thoughts here. There's the apprehending or apprehension of the truth. That is the hearing or the learning. But there is the appropriation of the truth. And that's something else. You see, it is one thing, friend, for you to get in the Bible. It's another thing to allow the Bible to get into you and put it into practice. Just for before we close this morning, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Book of Hebrews chapter 4, and look at the verse number 2 very quickly. It says this, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached," mark this, "but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." You see, they heard the word all right. The word of God had been preached unto them, but it says here it didn't profit them. And then you ask yourself the question, well, why was there no profit from the preaching of the word? They heard it, is that right? In them that heard it, they heard it. But why did it not profit them? Because you see, friend, they had an apprehension of the truth, an understanding of the truth, but they didn't appropriate the truth. In other words, they heard it, but they didn't heed it. That's the difference. There was no appropriation of the Word of God. Let me tell you this, my friend. The preaching of the Word of God, the objective of truth, is not to make scholars. Is to make saints. And you could be a scholar. And there are many scholarly people, friend, but they know not the Christ of God because they haven't appropriated the truth and personally received that which they have heard. And here's the last thought this morning, going back to Philippians chapter 4. Says this in Philippians 4, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and see in me, do." See, that's the thing. That's the thing. You could have heard them and seen them and learned them. But if you don't do them, then they're of no avail. Paul tells them, if they will do those things, notice what follows. "And the God of peace shall be with you." And the word "do" there simply means put into practice. Put into practice. God doesn't only want you and me to come to church, friend, to get a little more knowledge. But God wants us to come to God's house today to hear a word from Him and then go out into the world and to live it. Put it into practice. To live Christ. And thank God, whenever you and I put this into practice, when we do it, then the God of peace shall be with you. In other words, it'll bring a contentment and a calmness into your soul, because the God of peace shall be with you. You will enjoy the presence of the Lord. You'll enjoy God's presence. And no matter what storms all around you, friend, you'll be like the master lying on the hinder part of the ship, fast asleep, because you have peace, and the God of peace will be with you. God's presence with you. Listen, the Word of God, here's my last thought. The Word of God, learn it. Love it. Live it. Simple thought to remember. The Word of God, learn it, love it, live it. And the God of peace shall be with you. You know his presence every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, afresh we thank thee for thy precious word this morning. We ask of thee that thou will make this word a blessing to all of our hearts. Help us to leave thy house today to not only having learned the word, but help us to love thy word. Help us, our God, to live it before the world, that the world might see Jesus in us. Oh God, that we might experience the calmness of thy holy presence with us, giving peace in the midst of life's storm. May thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace from Father, Son, Holy Spirit, be with us not only today, but every day, until Jesus come or call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.